D-May Spin, get in Donick, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Derek Mason and I are live at the pub in the Gulch, 411th Avenue, right in the heart of it all. Not too far away from here, just a short walk. Bridgestone Arena, where the SEC tournament is underway once again, tipping off right now. Ole Miss against Auburn, Texas and Tennessee at 2:30, Missouri and Florida at 6, Kentucky and Alabama at 8:30. So make sure to keep it locked right here on 102.5, 106.3 the game for all of your updates throughout the day on the SEC tournament. Also want to give a shout out to the pub in the Gulch. St. Patrick's Day is Monday. I'm not going to lie to you guys, I am wearing green today. It was a complete coincidence. I just picked this t-shirt and then I realized, oh, it's festive. It works. St. Patrick's Day is Monday and the pub Nashville is the place to be. Kick things off with a special St. Patrick's brunch at 9, followed by live entertainment all day and the best Irish drinks and bites in town. Guinness specials all day, $7 Guinness, Harp, Magners, and Smithwick Strouts, $7 Jameson and Jameson Orange Shots, $9 Irish Sinker Shots, and $13 Lucky Green Cocktails right here at the pub in the Gulch. So plenty of reaction to our discussion on Cam Ward. Is it inevitable that Cam Ward will be the number one pick of the NFL draft to the Tennessee Titans? Is there anything that could stand in his way? I like this text, gentlemen, from Philip on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and I want to talk about this. From Philip, the Titans told us from the start they're looking for a generational talent, which I can say because I'm reading somebody else's text. The Titans told us from the start they're looking for a generational talent. I didn't see a generational talent in Ward, and before the interviews, the Titans were trying to trade the pick. So how do interviews make them change what they've seen on the tape?
Well, we don't know that they have. We don't really know one way or the other. We don't even know if they were trying to trade the pick, as the texter was saying here.
And although there was plenty of rumor and innuendo that they were trying.
Everybody's exactly. Looking for that.
Because they come around once in a generation.
So you can't get a generational player every draft.
No, you cannot.
That wouldn't be qualified as a generational player.
That's why we've banned that phrase on this program.
There we go.
But, Derek, why don't you take your shot?
What could change? You could get a great offer from somebody that does think Cam Ward is absolutely worth that pick.
And Charles Robinson said on the clip that we played from Robbie and Rex Road that Cam Ward might be preparing himself for either being the quarterback of the Titans or the quarterback of the Giants if the Giants decide to move up and take him.
Yeah, I don't think there's – you know, other than him, you know, just bombing his pro day, and I'm not talking about bombing it on the field. I'm talking about bombing it in the classroom as well. Then I think that would give either the Titans or the Giants hesitation, if indeed those are the two teams that more than likely would draft him. But beside that, I don't think there's much. Beside what you said too, Adam, somebody come in there and say, hey, listen, I give you this year's first, next year's first, and something else, then yeah, that's a no-brainer. That's a deal you gotta take, I think. But anything outside of those things that I described, I can't see, if indeed Cam Ward, because we don't know, it's just speculation based on what the moves the Tennessee Titans are making. I don't think there's anything that can happen from now until, you know, draft day that would sway, you know, either one of the teams from potentially drafting Cam Ward outside of something catastrophic happening, which I don't think it will.
One texter says on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, the Titans need help everywhere except for offensive line right now after their free agent signings. If I were making the pick, I would take Travis Hunter and then build everything else I could through the draft. Ward and Sanders are not going to get you over the hump. The Titans just need to take Hunter, build with him on defense, and sprinkle him in on offense because the Titans have nobody to catch the ball and nobody to throw it to them at the moment. Admit that we're going to have another dismal season next year and hope there's a better quarterback other than Ward or Sanders available early in the draft next year. But this is what we always talk about, too. There are a lot of people that say, hey, pass on the quarterbacks this year. Wait till next year. Arch Manning. You hear a lot of Arch Manning. But it's not an inevitability, to use that term again, that the Titans are going to be bad enough to be in this position again next year. Now, of course, they could trade up if they were a little bit better next year. But remember, it's been 9 years, if this is right, since the Titans had the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. They traded it, but it's been 9 years. And it's a good thing it's been 9 years because that means they've been good for most of the past 9 years. But as Derek has said, Willie, if you are confident that Cam Ward is a franchise quarterback, it does not matter if Dan Orlovsky or Matt Miller or whomever thinks that he may not be a generational player. Oops, I said it. I'm banned. It doesn't matter if they think it. As long as the Titans think it, that's all that matters.
Yeah,
but
to me,
they have to think he's worthy of the first pick. That's a different thing. And let's not forget, you said 9 years ago they had the first pick. The year before that, they had the second pick. So, and that's where they took Mariota. So, look, this is a rebuild. So, what's the quickest path to get back to relevancy?
Getting a quarterback.
And that is the answer. That is the answer to your question. If your answer is Cam Ward, okay. I get that, although I'm skeptical just because he just doesn't seem like that player to me. He doesn't.
Well,
not as the first overall pick.
On that note, Willie Donick, there was a story in The Athletic today. How will the 2025 NFL draft be impacted by the first wave of free agency? And the first question was, teams have been aggressive pursuing quarterbacks, be it via trade, Geno Smith, or big money contracts, Sam Darnold. Does that tell us anything about the 2025 NFL draft quarterback class? And Nick Baumgartner, one of The Athletic's NFL draft writers, said, quote, "We've talked and written about this since August. This quarterback class isn't as bad as the 2022 class, but it's not that much better." That was the class headlined by Kenny Pickett. Malik Willis was also in that class, if I'm not mistaken. "There really isn't anyone who's even close to being a no-doubter in this group. Cam Ward, who was viewed as a day-two pick at best when the season began, has emerged as the clear QB1. But he's a former wing-T quarterback who's only been throwing like this for about 5 years. There are huge risks, even for a player with Ward's talent. I don't think any of these quarterbacks would have gone in front of J.J. McCarthy or Bo Nix, quarterback 5 and 6 respectively, last year. And though it's certainly possible Ward hears his name called in the top 3, the best I can give you is that he's a top 20 player in this class. Shedeur Sanders, meanwhile, is probably a top 30 player. It would not shock me if Sanders fell into the second round."
There is a possibility. Hey, listen, we've seen crazier things happen in NFL drafts. Guys that were predicted top 10 picks end up falling out of the first round. Guys that predicted, not even first rounders end up being top 15, top 20 picks. So there are some crazy things that happen during the NFL draft. So I wouldn't put it past, Shedeur Sanders falling out of the first round. I don't expect it, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Matthew in Nashville on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, "I think the Titans were going to trade back to get Carter or Hunter. Then Carter's foot injury got out, and the Titans changed their mind. The moves they've made on the O-line and signing Brandon Allen, who knows Callahan when he used to be Burrow's backup in Cincy, suggests to me they're drafting a quarterback, which I believe will be Cam Ward."
Well, I mean there's your consensus. That's what the narrative, the quote narrative, will be like that. But let's not forget how much is going to be written, how much is going to be said between now and the day you draft. So this narrative could change. Like Dime said, if he just doesn't do well in his pro day for one reason or another and he's exposed, then you're going to have a whole different storyline going in. So how it looks today may not be how it looks in a couple of weeks.
Luke is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and it says here that Luke is a Miami Hurricanes fan. Mm-hmm. So, Luke, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
I don't know why you guys wouldn't take him. Zero star. Would you guys want a zero star who became a Heisman candidate? How about a guy who played 57 games? How about number one in QBR? How about second in the nation in passing yards? And the only thing I'm concerned about is coming to Tennessee, where he won't have that kind of talent. I think the talent he may have had around him was pretty solid. So
look, you're right. You are right to defend him as a Miami fan who watched him. But you just described Matt Leinart, Danny Warfel, Marcus Mariota. Let's just go down the list of Heisman Trophy kind of talents, right? There's a dozen of them, at least. So it's not the same game. You're not playing the same game in college as you do in the pro. So nobody knows.
I think the thing you can look at with Cam Ward, the positive, let's just say that, the positive you can look at with Cam Ward is that just like Penix, everywhere he went, Jaden Daniels, everywhere they went, they were able to get better. Everywhere they went, it wasn't like, okay, you move up to the next level and you take a step back.
Right, because Cam Ward played for three programs in college, Incarnate Word, mm-hmm. Washington State, and Miami.
Absolutely. So this is a guy that at each step, he was able to develop and improve. That means something when you're scouting a guy. Okay, it's not like he went from Incarnate Word to Washington State and then end up just bombing out and he had to transfer to Miami and all of a sudden they add some talent around him and now he becomes the quarterback. No, this guy improved every step that he made. So to me, that's a plus that, okay, we draft this guy. He's shown that every stop that he can improve as a quarterback, he can develop. So why would it stop now?
Well, on the flip side of that, Derek, that's the same thing that Shedeur Sanders is saying.
Yeah.
In terms of trying to sell himself, right? He went to Jackson State. It was a moribund program. He helped that program resuscitate. Mm-hmm. Then he went to Colorado, which was also on life support, so to speak, as a football program. And although Colorado didn't have smashing success, right? They weren't a national title contender.
They became
relevant again with Shedeur Sanders. So Shedeur Sanders is trying to sell himself in that same way. But my question is, do you think that Cam Ward has a better argument with that argument? Like if Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders can both say, I went to multiple programs mm-hmm. and found success, do you think Cam Ward has a stronger argument than Shedeur Sanders when it comes to that?
I think the argument that Cam Ward has is that his upside, mm-hmm. his ceiling is higher than Shedeur Sanders. Because both of them can talk about how they went from one school, one program to the next and was able to develop and get better. They both have that on their resume. But if I'm trying to decide which guy do I want that's going to lead my franchise for 15 years, then Cam Ward has more of an upside. Now, Shedeur Sanders may be the safer pick, but Cam Ward has the higher upside.
What do you say to that, Willie, that same question that I asked Derek?
Well, I think we've learned over time to not oversell somebody that we have watched excel on the college playing field, right? It is just such a different equation when it comes to translating those skills. What I have heard about Cam Ward is that he will need to have a learning curve because of the offenses that he's run in the various places are not really the pro style. So when I think of Cam Ward going into a situation where the roster is where it is with the Titans, that doesn't sound like a great recipe for success unless they're willing to let him sit for half a season or maybe even a full season. But most teams don't do that right now. I just go back to the central question. You know it's going to take time to build the roster. Is Cam Ward the solution? The things that I cannot tell you as a person who just watches college football and has observed drafts year in and year out is on the interior, is he just blowing them away when he talks to them? And what would he have to do in the pro day to not do that? I just think that you have to be so careful when you have the first overall pick. Taking a guy in the middle or late of the first round that you think has that upside, that to me is a different thing than the first overall pick being your quarterback. You've got to be sure that he lights all the boxes up.
Okay, Willie, think about this, Adam, as well. Borgonzi, where he came from, and we're not talking about Brinker, because I think Borgonzi is the guy that is running this as we speak in regards to the draft and everything else. Now, Brinker may have last say, but I think Borgonzi is running this. Borgonzi comes from Kansas City. Kansas City drafted Patrick Mahomes. Did Patrick Mahomes play that first year?
No.
Not at all. So why you go get a guy that you're familiar with that can run the offense while the young guy sits for a year? I can see that potentially happening in this situation where you do draft Cam Ward, but you have, who is it,
Brandon Allen.
You have Brandon Allen starting off the year as the starting quarterback. Why? Because you don't want to thrust this young guy into a situation that may not be advantageous for him right now. But you throw the veteran guy in there, allow this team to grow, allow that rookie quarterback to sit back and watch, and then the next year you throw him in there. Can you see that possibly happening, considering where Borgonzi came from, and that being Kansas City?
Willie, why don't you take that first?
Well, Kansas City at that point was a really good team. They were already good, and they had a good quarterback. There was no reason to rush Patrick Mahomes. That was the team that lost to the Titans in the playoffs.
But there's no reason to rush Cam Ward into the starting lineup. Why? Because we always, well, at least I've talked about, 2027 is the year that they need to have a quarterback in place, okay? So we don't need to rush him, because if he's not ready right now, that doesn't mean he's not going to be ready the next following year.
Go ahead, Willie.
No, I buy that. I see that point. Even if you know you're going to be bad, you don't want to throw a guy in there in a position to fail. If he's not ready, you can sit him. That is okay. You're allowed to do that. They did it with Steve McNair.
Mm-hmm.
We will continue that quarterback conversation later. Willie Donick has to leave us. He has to go prepare for the Predators game tonight in Anaheim against the Ducks. Puck drop at 9, pregame at 8, right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. An SEC tournament update for you. 12:39 remaining in the first half. Ole Miss 11, Auburn 7. Ole Miss 11, Auburn 7 early in the first half. Over at Bridgestone Arena. And a reminder that all of our SEC tournament updates are presented by Toyota. Fuel your adrenaline at toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places. Also brought to you by Guinness, the newcumberland.com volunteer hose and gasket, and Sloan's Motorcycle ATV. We bid Willie adieu for the week. He will be back in town on Monday. But coming up next, it's time to ask D-Mace. So get your questions in for Derek, 615-737-1025. Ask D-Mace. Coming up next, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063. The Game. It's time to ask D-Mace on D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, 1025, 1063, The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you live at the pub in the Gulch on 11th Avenue. Come see us. A lot happening down here. As always, the SEC tournament is underway at Bridgestone Arena. Auburn and Ole Miss tied at 11, halfway through the first half. I do have one programming note here for you. Vanderbilt baseball has moved up its game to 11 a.m. tomorrow, a 10:45 pregame, an 11 a.m. start. 94.9 The Fan coverage available on 94.9 The Fan. So an earlier start for Vanderbilt baseball tomorrow because of the pending inclement weather. But it is time to ask D-Mace, and let's start with an unnamed texter. Derek, let's assume the Titans draft Cam Ward. We already know that Brinker has final say on the roster. However, doesn't Callahan have final say on who starts? So what if Callahan says Ward is not ready? Who ends up having the final say on game day?
I think it's the head coach. I think ultimately it has to be the head coach. If you've hired him to do a job, then let him do it. Now, I understand you having say over the roster, but when we're talking about game day starters, no. That's something that should be left up to the coach, the head coach and his coaching staff. So if Brian Callahan feels that, hey, listen, Cam Ward's not ready yet, then you sit him until he's ready.
One texter says, hey, D-Mace, what do you think of the rookie from last year, Bryce Oliver? I think that's his name. It is. Do you think he will be a bigger part of the offense like NWI's role now that NWI is in Miami?
I hope he is. He came on the latter part of the year, I think the last five or six games of the season, where you started to see him get mixed in the offense a little bit. And I look for that to continue, especially if he has a good offseason, have a good mini camp and then training camp. He's a guy that's shown that, you know, you put him in the game, he's going to do what you ask him to do. So I expect Oliver's participation in what this offense is going to do. I think it's going to pick up a little.
Let me ask you, because you were out in the early part of the week. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine signs with the Miami Dolphins, and it wasn't for a lot of money. I don't have the contract figures in front of me, but when I saw them, I thought to myself, why couldn't the Titans have made that work? And I believe it was Terry McCormick who said that the Titans had a similar offer on the table for Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. He chose Miami instead. What do you think of that?
It's interesting. Maybe he thought that, you know, because sometimes we see it a lot in workplaces where, you know, your opportunity to advance is gone. Where, you know, they know who you are, they know what you can do, but for whatever reason, you're not going to get a promotion. You're just going to stay right where you're at. Even though you're doing good work, you're going to stay right where you're at. And I think that's how Nick Westbrook-Ikhine felt about the Tennessee Titans, that, listen, he was probably the most consistent receiver they've had over the last 2 years. Now, did he put up eye-popping numbers? No.
Well, he did with the touchdown
department. But as far as just being a receiver, no. But he was Mr. Reliable. He was a guy that they knew was going to be out there each and every week. But he understood that I'm not going to get a shot to be a number two in this league if I stay here in Nashville. So let me go somewhere else. And I'm not saying he's going to get a shot
because
to be number
behind,
two.
He's behind exactly. Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle in Miami.
But the difference is he will get more opportunities in Miami because of how they run their offense. Because of they have multiple guys catching over 100 passes per year. So adding Nick Westbrook-Ikhine to the mix, it only enhances what they can do. So he just felt like, hey, there's a better opportunity for me in Miami to advance rather than staying here. Because being in Nashville was comfortable for him. But he got tired of being comfortable. He wanted to go somewhere where he can get some advancement.
And remember, he was on the bench for the first month of the season because the Titans were trying to make Treylon Burks happen. Mm-hmm. And I think you said this, Derek, that Brian Callahan mentioned at the end of the season that he apologized to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, if I recall correctly, for not getting him involved in the offense sooner. So, by the way, those contract terms on Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, 2 years, $6.5 million with $3.2 million guaranteed. Perfectly reasonable for a player of Nick Westbrook-Ikhine's caliber. Jerry is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jerry, thank you for calling. What's your question for Derek?
How are you doing, guys?
Good, thank you.
Mr. D-Mace, do we see you as a announcer, as a personality of the year, or with your vast knowledge as a coach in college or in the pros somewhere?
Thanks for the call, Jerry.
Oh, man.
You get this question a lot.
Yeah. I enjoy teaching the position. I enjoy talking to younger people about the game. And when I mean younger people, I mean middle school, high school. That's it. I don't want to go no higher than that. Because even at the high school level, I think things have changed now. And I don't particularly have the patience anymore, the older that I'm getting. I don't have the patience anymore to be dealing with entitlement or entitled people. And a lot of these guys feel entitled. And I just don't want to deal with it. But I love coaching, you know, Little League. If I ever did it again, I would love to go to the Little League ranks or middle school, something like that. But as far as college and the pros, I mean, college is nothing but the pros. That's all it is. They're getting paid. The pros are getting paid. It's just at times, and I'm not going to say all college students are this way or academic. What do they call them? They used to call them
student-athletes,
but yes, they're really athletic students. That's what they are, professional athletic students. That's what they are. Mm-hmm. A lot of them just feel entitled, and I just don't have the patience for that. So if you're asking me the three, I would stay right where I'm at doing what I'm doing because I enjoy talking about it, and I enjoy meeting a lot of people, and I enjoy being on this station. So talking about sports, commentating about sports, that's what I enjoy doing.
Wes is in Hermitage on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Wes, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, guys. Happy Friday. It's been a minute, so I had to call in with a dad joke first.
Let's go.
Got a good one for you today, D-Mace. It's this time of year for it. So why don't you iron four-leaf clovers?
Why don't you iron four-leaf clovers? I don't know.
Is it something about pressing them or –
Hey, you almost had it because you don't want to press your luck.
Oh. I was close.
Yeah.
Hey, like man. That. But it's funny. My question of the day is not sports related at all, but it's funny because the last call that you took when you started answering it, you kind of went right into what I was about to ask you. So it's super appropriate for the day. My question is very simple. What happened to Southern hospitality? Because it seems like nowadays, no matter where you go, the grocery store, the gas station, wherever it is, everybody is extremely abrasive and rude. So what's going on with that, man? How did we get here in 2025? Thanks, guys. Y'all have a good one.
Thanks for the call, Wes. Let me interject for one second.
I think you can answer this, too,
Let me interject Adam. For just one moment. A lot of it is there are people like me. Transplants. A lot of people in Nashville aren't Southern. I mean, actually, you know what? People think that I'm not Southern because I moved here from Washington, D.C. a decade ago, by the way. I am entrenched in Nashville. It's been 10 years now of me in Nashville. I was born in North Carolina and raised in Virginia, so I am Southern, technically, although my parents are from New York City. So that's why I maybe have that Northeastern vibe. But this city is a transient town. Derek, you've been here a lot longer than I have. A lot of people from here aren't from here anymore. So that Southern hospitality, it's changed. That's my theory.
I think the further and further you move outside of, let's just say Nashville, because, you know, I don't live in Georgia. I don't live in some of these other Southern states that I've never have. I guess I lived in Texas for a quick minute. But the further and further you move outside of Nashville, I think that's where you sort of get the more of the Southern hospitality. Not to say you don't get it here inside the city. You do. But like Adam said, because so many other people are moving here, whether it be from up north, whether it be from out west.
A lot of West Coasters, I feel like, are moving this way.
Yeah, so a little bit of that Southern charm that people are used to is sort of fading away. So I think that's what's happening. I think people are just so consumed with themselves. I think a lot of it is that it's all about me, me, me. And when it's all about me, 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 you lose a lot of that, you know, being cordial, being nice, being respectful, because everything you're doing is about you and not about everybody else.
Here's a simple test before we go to break. Here's a simple test if you know someone is truly Southern. I learned this the hard way 10 years ago. tell someone bless your heart. And if they take that as a compliment, you know that he or she is not the right person. The first time someone ever told that to me, I was like, oh, thank you. No. That's not what they meant.
Bless your heart.
Yes, 615-737-1025. We will continue with Ask D-Mace coming up next. Another quick SEC tournament update. Auburn 18, Ole Miss 16, 7:21 remaining in the first half. Just down the road at Bridgestone Arena, 615-737-1025. This week's Nashville best deal is Boomba's Pizza and Watch Bar. Just in time for the SEC tournament, score half off a $30 gift card and enjoy their award-winning pizza and handcrafted beverages. Visit them in Nashville, Spring Hill, or Murfreesboro. And we will be out at Boomba's late next week. We will give you those details next week. Visit thegamenashville.com/deals now while supplies last. D-Mace, Fingen, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Derek Mason, Adam Mingan out at the Pub Nashville in the Gulch, 411th Avenue. St. Patrick's Day is on Monday, and the Pub Nashville is the place to be. Kick things off with a special St. Patrick's Day brunch at 9 a.m., followed by live entertainment all day and the best Irish drinks and bites in town. Let's get back to Ask D-Mace. Adam from Portland is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, Adam, man. Hey, I've got an activity for you, D-Mace.
Yes.
And Adam, you can help him if you want. Number one, I hope you're feeling better, man. Here's the deal. So we're seeing Mike Borgonzi in this first wave of free agency. I wonder if Rand was still here, what moves he would have made. Would he have made any of these same ones? Would it have looked any different? Like, would his plan been completely different? And I'm curious on what you think he would have done.
That's a good question. Thank you, Adam. All right. So imagine Rand Carthon were still the general manager of the Tennessee Titans. And think back to last year in free agency, Calvin Ridley, Lloyd Cushenberry, Tony Pollard. If you want to throw in the acquisition of L'Jarius Sneed, you can throw that in there as well. So the other contracts that were signed around the league, Derek Mason, if Rand Carthon were still in charge, who do you think would have been on this team?
You know, that's hard to say because, you know, you can look at what Rand did last year and the guys that he brought in. And some guys were productive and some guys were not. L'Jarius Sneed wasn't productive. Why? Because he didn't finish the season. Who else was on that list? Pollard, he was productive. He finished the season. So you had guys on, you know, that he brought in last year that did pretty good, and guys that didn't for one reason or another. I'm not going to sit here and say that Rand wouldn't have made some of these moves or not, because I think that's unfair to Rand, and I think that's unfair to Borgonzi. Who's to say that Borgonzi wouldn't have made some of the moves that Rand made last year, you know? So I just think that's totally unfair to Borgonzi, and that's totally unfair, I believe, to Rand, you know, in regards to what he would have done. Because last year, what did he do? He went out and he tried to address every need that they have. Did we all agree with some of the moves he made? No. But he went out and he addressed those moves. Now, ask me this question next year, you know, around this time, because we got to see how these moves that Borgonzi made during the offseason, how is it going to affect the team moving forward? If it affects the team moving forward the same way Rand Carthon's move affected the team last year, then to me, it would have been a wash in a sense. So to me, I just think it's totally unfair to compare two guys because they're under different circumstances, I believe.
One thing that has been pointed out quite a bit, maybe Rand Carthon wouldn't have done this. One thing that has been pointed out quite a bit about the acquisitions the Titans have made in free agency is that they are available. Dan Moore.
Yes.
Xavier Woods. Van Jefferson. Kevin Zeitler. They play. As Jared is fond of saying, the best ability in the NFL, as you know, Derek, is availability.
Okay, but did L'Jarius Sneed miss a game two seasons ago?
I know. We're going to get into this.
See? But,
I hear what you're –
Yes. Did Pollard miss a game last year? I mean, 2 years ago before they brought him in? No, I don't think so. So he didn't bring in guys that were injured. They had injury histories, yes, right. But he didn't bring in guys that had been injured the previous season.
Then we're going to get into the nuance exactly. of Baywell. Legarius Sneed was hurt,
yeah.
even though he didn't miss games, and I'm trying to avoid that. You can hear plenty of that at 2 o'clock. One texter says, question for Derek Mason. If you had the chance to play with Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, who would you like to play for and why?
Dude,
or with?
Man. Give me any quarterback, man. I didn't play with
but that's not the question.
Worst of them. I would pick Shedeur Sanders because I think Shedeur has this ability and Cam does somewhat, but I saw it more with Shedeur this season. He has this ability to keep the play going, to allow guys to, you know, peel off and find a space, you know, when things break down. He's shown that game in and game out, series in and series out, that everything doesn't need to be pretty for him to complete a pass. And that's what Steve McNair had. Everything doesn't need to look pretty for me to complete a pass. Just do your job, find a space, work with me, and I'll find you. And Shedeur was able to do that last season in college. And again, that's not taking anything away from Cam Ward, but I think Shedeur had to do it more. Why? Because his offensive line wasn't as good the last 2 years. So I saw a lot of Steve McNair in Shedeur Sanders in regards to buying time to look for guys down the field. And then he throws a catchable football. And ask any receiver out there, that's all you want, is a guy to throw a catchable ball.
All right, so I think I know who the identity of the texter of that question is. Chris Dwayne Sanders, who also wants to know, who won silly underdog picks this year, LOL? It was you, Chris. It was you.
But who picked Whatever. Their rival school?
Exactly. You, Chris.
Right. Chris, if you're listening, look, you won silly underdog picks this year, but can you sleep at night knowing that you picked your alma mater's most hated rival to win, to help you win that trophy? That trophy, well, by the way, there is no trophy. That imaginary trophy is not going to keep you warm at night, my friend.
Ask him, can he go back to campus?
Can you go back to campus?
No.
That was a good question, Chris, about Shedeur Sanders.
He can't
and Cam
go back
Ward.
To campus, so there you go.
No, a representative from Ohio State University came to his door and burned his diploma in front of him and made him watch all of those Buckeye stickers on your helmet, Chris.
Exactly.
I don't know how many you got in your career, but they're all being stripped right now. Clay in Gallatin on our text line says, it appears our quarterback stable will be Levis and Ward, based on what everybody is saying. So if that's the case, what do you anticipate the Titans' record to be this year? Throw Brandon Allen in there, too.
Yeah, you got to throw Brandon Allen in there as well.
And we're going to talk about Brandon Allen after Ask D-Mix.
Yeah. If I had to predict, based on the moves they made, let's just say this. I think they will be a better team than what they were last season.
It is a low bar,
to
be fair.
Yeah, it's very low, but I think they will be a better team this upcoming season than they were last season.
Andrew from Dover wants us to name the NFL's generational player for each decade. So he wants us to start in the 70s. So we will use the remainder of this time. 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s, and 2020. So we'll go through this quickly. Here are some options from the 70s that come to mind for me. Walter Payton, Roger Staubach, O.J. Simpson, I think would have been in the 70s.
Yes.
Mean Joe Green. So if you are choosing a generational player from the 70s, Derek, your choice is?
Because Jim Brown was the 60s.
Yeah.
I think it would be O.J. And some people may not.
O.J. Simpson over Walter Payton? Not,
yeah, because O.J., he just, I think, after Jim Brown, that type of back, he revolutionized how that position was played with such a big back. And listen, Jim was a big back too. But the speed, the strength, you know, all of that combination that you need to have as a running back, I think O.J. was a generational player. Now, you may not like O.J. as a human being. I understand
that. For the purpose of this argument, we're talking about the football field.
You were just talking about football field.
Yes.
Then I would have to say O.J. Simpson.
All right. To the 80s, Lawrence Taylor comes to mind. Jerry Rice comes to mind. Joe Montana comes to mind. Who do you have in the 80s?
LT. LT,
I think that's an
down.
Easy one. Yeah. I think that's an easy one. Let's move to the 90s. Barry Sanders, Emmitt Smith, Brett Favre, John Elway.
Barry
Sanders in the 90s. All right. 2000s. Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, LaDainian Tomlinson, Ray Lewis, Marvin Harrison.
Ray Lewis.
Okay. The 2010s. I guess you can include Tom Brady in there as well. Aaron Rodgers, Calvin Johnson. Who do you have in the...
Calvin Johnson.
Mm-hmm. In the 2020. So active, current day players, generational.
Generational, current day players. Michael Parsons. Mm-hmm. There are several. I mean, gosh.
Patrick Mahomes?
I wouldn't even say Patrick. I wouldn't even say... Because I've seen, you know, you can go all the way back to, you know, the 60s or, you know, the 70s where guys were playing the way Patrick Mahomes is playing now. Pat is probably will go down as the greatest quarterback of all times eventually after his career is done. But when you're talking about generational, I don't know.
Jamar Chase.
Aaron Donald.
Aaron Donald is a good choice.
But have you seen – okay, when we're saying generational.
Right.
Have we seen this type of player before?
Yeah.
We've seen an Aaron Donald before. Warren Sapp, you know, if you watch Warren Sapp play, he was just like Aaron Donald, you know. And Dominican Sue at one point was just like Aaron Donald. So there have been guys that have been able to, you know, get to the pass rusher the way Aaron Donald was able to do, command a double team the way Aaron Donald was able to do. So when you're talking about a generational player, man, it's hard to say. I need some more time to think about that one because generational is thrown around loosely a lot.
Yes, and it is. That's why it's
Lamar
a
Jackson?
Banned phrase.
Yeah, Lamar would be.
Yes.
He would be the one guy
right.
that I say is generational.
Right. I do think a big part of being considered generational is revolutionizing the position that you play.
Exactly.
So I think Lamar Jackson would fit in that category. You know, here, I mean, this may maybe this is – like when I think of Lamar Jackson – I guess you could go back. I guess this would be the 2000s or maybe the 2010s. Michael Vick.
Yeah,
you
know, Michael Vick
would absolutely count as a generational talent based on that criteria. But it is a great conversation to have, and maybe we can continue it later on. But 615-737-1025. We are live out at the pub in the Gulch, 411th Avenue. Come see us. An SEC tournament update for you. Just approaching halftime in the first game. Auburn 27, Ole Miss 22 at Bridgestone Arena. Tennessee and Texas tip off at 2:30. Missouri and Florida at 6. Kentucky and Alabama at 8:30. But Auburn with a 5-point lead as halftime nears in the first game of the quarterfinal round of the SEC tournament. And all of our updates of the SEC tournament are presented by Toyota. Fuel your adrenaline at Toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places. Also brought to you by Guinness, the new Cumberland.com, volunteer hose and gasket, and Sloan's motorcycle and ATV.